Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. If you're alive and breathing, say, praise the Lord.
Praise
Come
the
on,
Lord.
Let's stand up and sing that together. Alive and breathing. Here we go.
What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time.
Joy, come on!
Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Years roll by, we wonder why we lost our way from home. A father finds the child inside, we left for growing old. Awake, 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 my soul. Comes in the morning, hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming, there's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing, praise the Lord.
Let everything praise the Lord. In the working, in the waiting, let it praise the Lord. In the blessing, in the breaking, come on, praise the Lord. In the dying, the rising, let it praise the Lord. Let it praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. Still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord.
Joy!
Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo. Amen. Everybody take a real deep breath. Don't breathe out on anybody, but breathe out. If you have taken a breath today, you can praise the Lord. So somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Be seated if you will. Welcome to First Baptist Church. This is our second worship service of the day. We had a wonderful time in our early service, and we're excited to be gathering again to sing praise to you. We're thankful for our choir and band in leading us and for all that they do. Our opportunities today are that every person in the room can make a decision to worship God. Every one of us can make a decision to let songs come from our lips and our heart to Him. And so I hope that you'll make that decision today. If you're a guest participating online, welcome. We're thankful that you are there. We know we have some folks who are watching online who have been sick and folks who are dealing with sickness. I know even Miss Carolyn Wilson had surgery this last week. She told me she'd be watching. You've never gotten a shout out online before, Miss Carolyn. So everybody wave at Miss Carolyn. Everybody give her a wave. There you go. That's for you. So we're thankful for all those that participate online. If you're there and you are new, we would love to know that you're participating online. You can take your phone out and text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. Just follow what's on the screen right now, and we would invite you to do so, and that'll let us connect to you a little later. If you're in the room and you're a guest, you're welcome to use that phone system as well, or you can take your worship guide and tear off the registration. We'd love to have a record of your being here. We'd like to send a gift to you in the mail, so we'd love to do that. If you would help us out with that, that would be our honor to be able to do so. Our church of the week we're praying for this week is First Baptist Church of Boaz, Alabama. They have a new pastor. I think he's been there around 12 weeks or so. His name is Steve Brown, and we're excited to have him in our area. We're thankful for the ministry there and for what the legacy Boaz First Baptist has had for a long time, many, many years. We're praying that God does an amazing work and that he continues to do that in new and fresh ways. So let's pray for First Baptist Boaz and for Pastor Steve. And then our missionaries of the week for this week, they're in a closed country, so I cannot give their name out on line, but let me just say their initials are J and A. So pray for J and A, who are serving in a couple of countries in the Middle East. And so if you'll pray for them, for God to move in power, pray for the boldness for them as they share the gospel and for open opportunities for them to be able to do so as well. Listen, as we have sung this song that says, if you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Joy comes in the morning. There's good news still worth repeating. Can I say to you what we're about to sing next is really one of my favorite hymns. It's basically us making a commitment, a response that says, tell me the story of Jesus. Write every word on my heart. My prayer is that today we would let that be our prayer, that we ask God to speak to us the story from his word. Teach us to be like him. Would you pray with me? And then we'll sing together. Father God, what a blessing to gather together. Lord, my prayer is that everything we do would give you glory and honor. And Lord, we need you. So would you tell us the story of Jesus? Write every word on our hearts. Tell us how he brings salvation. Tell us how he changes us and makes us new. That is our prayer. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. Lift your voice. Let this be your prayer. Let's worship together in this moment.
Tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Let's sing this out. This is.
And this is my story.
Be right. Amen. Father God, you are all around us this morning. God, we see the evidence when we walk outside our doors. We see the evidence when we see your creation, your beauty. And God, we're just left in amazement. We're left in wonder. We stand in awe of you, God. And we just proclaim this together. We sing this out.
We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Sing that out.
We're singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love.
One more time, everybody, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Don, lead us to sing that once more as a prayer.
Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Father God, we have sung a story to you today that joy comes in the morning, that you've given us another day to live so we can celebrate you, and we have wonderful things to sing and say about you. Father, to ask you to speak to us, to tell us your story, and then to declare that your grace is our story, and to sing about the evidence of your goodness all over our lives. Thank you so much for that. And Father, to talk about the marvelous, wonderful Savior we have. We pray that today you would transform us, change us. Please do a work in this room with those online, with those listening on the radio. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be thick in this place. You would work in our hearts. Father God, we need you. Thank you, Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, if you will. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians is in the New Testament, the last third of your Bible, you will find it. And we have been working through Philippians in a series called Finding Joy. And the truth is, this is it. This is the last week. This is week 21. We will close with the final verses today. And I'm excited to be able to see the conclusion of what has been a beautiful story, this letter through Philippians. Next week, we have a passage that we will look at from Psalm 81, a standalone message, where we're going to talk about what it means when God says he provides honey in the rock. And so we're going to talk about that next week. And then the following week, we start a brand new series that's just going to be 6 to 7 weeks, really just 6 to 7 weeks, called Bedtime Bible Stories Revisited. We're looking forward to that. So it's going to be a great fall. We're excited, though, to finish today in Philippians. Last words have impact. And Paul speaks some important last words right here at the end of this letter. And so when we think about last words, I'm reminded of there's a new trend for people who send emails. A lot of people will add a little funny tagline at below their signature or below their name. It's their standard kind of greeting. I get it from business people, from church members, and different ones, and I've always enjoyed looking at those and seeing what people thought was a great way to leave last words in the salutation. So three of my very favorites that I have received are these, and I'll share them with you right now. This is one of my favorite. I thought it was so great. They had the email, all the information, they signed their name, and then their tagline was this: Dear IRS, please cancel my subscription. All in favor, say aye.
Okay, all right. I thought that was great. And this was one that came from a church member here in our church. He said, a good friend is one who thinks you're a good egg, even though you're half cracked. I thought that's pretty good, too. That person who sent it to me, anyway, all right. And then the last one that I thought was very strange as I first read it, but the longer I read it, the more I chuckled. It said this: before you criticize someone, walk a mile in their shoes. That way, you're a mile away, and you have their shoes, too. That one's puzzling to me, but I thought it was pretty good. Last words can be funny, but last words can have great meaning as well. And so when we look at what Paul says here at the end of this letter to the Philippians, it is not unlike things he said in some of his other letters, but it's very personal. So listen to Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. He says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So here's what's interesting. Paul starts this letter to the Philippian church in chapter 1, verse 1, by calling all of the believers in Philippi saints. And he ends his letter to the Philippian church by calling all of the believers in Philippi saints. He says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. If you go all the way back to week 1 of our message series in early March, we talked about what it means to be a saint. Here's a recap of that. The definition of a saint is this: it is one set apart by God. So if you are a follower of Jesus, that means you are a saint. You have been set apart by God. So what have you been set apart from? You have been set apart from the world. You have been set apart from your sin. And you've been set apart from hell, which is a wonderful thing. So what did you do to earn this? Let me ask you, saints in the room, what did you do to earn your sainthood? Nothing, nada, zilch, not a thing. You didn't do anything to earn it. It's the free gift of God, but we have been made free. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says this, and you who were dead in your trespasses, in your sin, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that means you were trying to follow the law of your flesh, but it wasn't working. God made you alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses, all our sins, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Listen, I get so excited. It says that Jesus nailed your sin to the cross and he canceled your debt. Somebody say amen. That's what he did for you and for me. That's what makes you a saint. So when you have problems and difficulties, hear me say this. I've said it before, but it's true. Anything above burning in hell is a privilege. Let me say it again. Anything above burning in hell is a privilege because that's what we deserve. But God has separated us as saints because of his grace and his mercy. He has separated us from hell. He has separated us from our sin. But we have not only been set apart from sin, we have been set apart to Jesus. This is the exciting part. Listen to John 1, 12. He says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. You and I have been given the right to become children of God. You have been adopted as God's sons or daughters. That is a powerful, powerful thing that God has given you. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We have all the rights and privileges of being his child. Can you believe you're a child of God? I mean, it really is amazing. We have his inheritance, the legacy of God's grace in us. We are saints. But here is bad English, but good theology. There's only two types of people in the world. There are saints and there are ain'ts. We said this back in March. I want to say it again. If you're in this room, you're either a saint or an ain't. If you're listening online, you're a saint or an ain't. If you're listening on the radio, you're a saint or an ain't. Every person on the planet is either walking in Jesus as a saint or they ain't. Now, I realize that's horrible English, but boy, it's good theology to understand that that's what God does in our lives. He does the saving work. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, let me take just a second to share with you about this. This is important. Because I understand people may come to church wanting to find the answer of how to have hope in their life. So let me share it with you, and let me share it with those online for just a moment. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." That whosoever includes you. That means if you would believe in him, you could have everlasting life and not be separated from God forever in eternity in hell. Now, how does that happen? Romans 3:23 says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person in this room has sinned. Every person on this platform, it's just me, has sinned. Every person online has sinned. We all have sinned. We have missed the mark. We have disobeyed what God has called us to live. And it says, because of that, for all of sin, we fall short of God's perfection, his glory. Romans 6:23 says, "The wage of your sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." The wage is what you've earned. You earn a wage, and what you have earned is death. It means separation from God. It's bad news, but you and I can't be in God's presence because he's perfect and holy, and we are full of sin, so we can't be there. But there's a gift. It says, but the gift of God's eternal life. So grace, the goodness of God, the grace of God, that's his gift to us. You couldn't earn it. He freely gives it to you. So what is that gift? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. So Jesus dying for you, coming back to life for you, making a way that your sin could be paid for, that's his gift to you. So if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, right now, you need to stop and say, Jesus, I need you. I give you my life. Take me. Make me new. There's no special words. It's your heart saying, God, I don't want to be the old me. I need you to change me. Please move in my life. Ask him to do that, and he gladly will. So if you're an ain't, you can be a saint right now. Pray, ask him to do that in your life. I encourage you to do so. But for those of us that do know him, I want to encourage you now to understand that we are called then to live that out. So what does that look like? Let's look and see what Paul says next. The next part of Philippians 4:21, the second part of that verse says, "The brothers who are with me greet you." Now, right after that, Paul says, "All the saints of Rome greet you." So he says, "The brothers who are with me greet you." And then he says, "All the saints greet you." So what's the difference? Brothers is not the term we would use. You might walk around and call every man in this room your brother. That's not what he means. We are brothers in Christ, but he's talking about something much more intimate and deep. He's talking about Timothy and a few select others that were with him, taking care of him, ministering to him, praying for him, on the journey with him, willing to take the beating with him, willing to be in prison with him. He's talking about brothers, a band of brothers in arms who were with him. And because he says, everyone else, all the other saints greet you, but these are your brothers. Can I say to you today, every man in this room needs some brothers. Every woman in this room needs some sisters. This implies a close, like-minded friend. I'll be honest with you, I have many friends and many fellow believers, hundreds. But the reality is I would have a much smaller number of people I would consider a brother, in the sense that I know that they are willing not just to say they'll pray for me, they are willing to pray with me and for me. People that will speak truth to me in my life. People that will encourage me on a regular basis. People that will pray for my family. Here's the biggest one. People that know my life and choose to stick around anyway. Now listen, it's hard to find those in life, but if you've got some, that's great. If you don't, listen, I encourage you, find some brothers or some sisters, someone that can know the real you, to pray for you, to intercede for you, to go to battle with you and for you, to knock some sense into you when you need it knocked in you, someone to encourage you and to be there with you. We all need that. And by all means, if you don't have it, seek to be it for someone else. Seek to be that for someone else. Philippians shares with us this idea of brotherhood and what it means. So seek to do that. Now, let's keep going. Look at verse 22. He says, "All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." Now, why is this so significant? Paul wanted the Philippians to know, and they were part of a Roman colony, by the way, he wanted the Philippians to know that some of Caesar's household, that would either be his slaves, that could be his staff, it could be his imperial guard of soldiers. It might not necessarily mean his family, but it means people that were close to him. Someone of Caesar's household had come to Jesus. There were saints in Caesar's household. So why is this so significant? Well, if you look in the New Testament, there were multiple Caesars. They don't go by their name a lot of time. They were just all called Caesar, and you see different ones mentioned by different names. But this Caesar was a particularly bad Caesar. You know him as Nero. And Nero had a hate and a disdain for believers. He hated Christians. He martyred many of them. And Tacitus was a Roman historian, and in that day and time, he wrote these words about Emperor Nero, about Caesar Nero. Listen to what Tacitus said about how he treated Christians. This is heartbreaking. This is an account, an eyewitness account of what Nero did to Christians in his day. He said, covered with the skins of beasts, Christians were torn by dogs and perished, or were nailed to crosses, or were doomed to the flames and burnt to serve as nightly illumination when daylight had expired. Tacitus says that Nero would have Christians' bodies burned to light the streets of Rome as people would go about their business at night. He hated Christians. And this passage tells us, Paul is quick to say, some of Caesar's households are saints, and they greet you as well. Listen, what an incredible thought to think that even in the middle of great persecution, God's always got a remnant. There are always people who are following him and who are his own that he puts in the right place at the right time, and we see it here. Now, we live in a day and an age where we think about persecution and we see people persecuted around the world, and we sometimes even throw out haphazardly thoughts that we're persecuted here in our nation. And can I be honest with you? I think the day's probably coming where we will be, but the truth is, we've not been persecuted yet. We've not faced that type of persecution as believers. And here's what I would say. It bugs me when people are willing to say, I would die for my faith on a Facebook post. People who would say, I would die for my faith, but won't even get up and go to church because they don't want to someday, that's not believable in my book. That's a different soapbox, okay? But the reality is, persecution is not something we've had a whole lot of yet. But these people experienced it. And what we learn from the scripture is that persecution is always used to fan the flame of the gospel. If you go back to the book of Acts where Stephen is stoned, the first martyr, you move forward to the Romans who killed many believers in the name of Jesus. You move forward to today. Somebody will die for their faith today. Someone will be imprisoned for their faith around the world today. Someone's in prison right now for their faith. Oh, we're so blessed. We are so blessed, aren't we? Thank God that you live where you live. Thank God that you live in the time that you live. But also pray for those that are persecuted. And here's the reality. I've shared this thought before, but I love it, so I'm going to share it again. If you were a betting man 2,000 years ago, the Roman government had conquered the world. They had conquered the entire known world. And so if you were betting against this great emperor Nero, who was a brutal man, and his Roman empire of soldiers, or if you were betting in favor of this one man, Jesus, who was killed for his faith, by the way, and this ragtag group of believers who were trying to assemble, even in the midst of difficulty, to follow him, if you thought that the Romans were going to win, that would have made sense. But here we are, 2,000 years later, and what do we find? We name our children Peter, Mary, James, and John. And we name our dogs Caesar, Brutus, and Nero, okay? We see how that turned out. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, okay? That's what I'm talking about. So the reality is, listen, that there is a plan much bigger than world empires at work today. There's a plan much bigger than the American government at work today. There's a plan much bigger, no offense, than your plan at work today. And that is this: the gospel will penetrate until people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language have an opportunity to respond. And so, oh, it's important that we live it and that we share it. And to know, you say, well, Chris, how does this apply to me? Let me bring it down to you. You haven't faced Nero's household. But maybe in your own way, you are in a dark place. Maybe you work in what is a dark environment. Maybe for you, let me be real, maybe you live in what is a pretty hopeless environment. Maybe you've got friends and neighbors who are struggling with the worldly environment and the lack of faith and understanding of who God is. Well, can I say to you, just like there were saints in Caesar's household, maybe, just maybe, you are God's man or woman on the scene in your situation. As much as you may struggle with what's going on in your workplace, maybe you're the very reason that things are going to turn around. Maybe you are the one to be God's missionary. You are to be the saint in that place. Maybe as much as you struggle with stuff going on in your extended family and all the difficulty, can I encourage you to realize that you can be the one to change your family tree? You can be the one that starts a new legacy for the kingdom of God. We are saints who can live that out for the gospel. Wherever God has you, understand that you're there for a reason. And that I'm not saying he's not wanting to change it and put you in a better spot, but I promise you this, he will use his saints in every situation. And I encourage you to do so. And then Paul ends his letter by saying this in Philippians 4:23. It's a blessing. He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." I love that Paul starts with grace, he ends with grace, and he gives a blessing to them that says, "May the grace of Jesus Christ be with your spirit." I like to text people prayers. It's kind of been a habit for several years that I'll try to pick at least 5 or 6 a day, just people to actually text a prayer to. Not to text, say, "I'm praying for you," but to text a prayer. And I just want you to know, those are not just copy and paste. I really try to do a unique, you know, prayer to different people for the most part. But there is a phrase that I will copy and paste almost every time because I love to pray this prayer. It's important to me. And here's what if you've received one from me, you probably had something very similar to this in it. May God share his grace with you today, and may you show his grace to others today. Now, why is that important to me? Here's the reason. I am one saint who requires a lot of grace. How about you? If you're like me, maybe you require a lot of grace as well. So I want to encourage you, make a renewed commitment to seek the grace of God and to walk in his grace and to extend his grace to others. Now, a skeptic might say to you, "I don't believe in God or his grace." If they were to say that to you and you had to speak to them and make a case for the grace of God in your life, what would you say? We sang about it today. "I see the evidence of his goodness all over my life. I see his promises in fulfillment all over my life." We sang about it over and over. "This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." We talked about that today. So what I would say to you is this: if you had to make an actual verbal case for the grace of God in your life, what would you say? Well, whatever it is, I want to encourage you every day to build a grace case every day. Wake up every morning and say, "God, today I want to build a case for your grace in my life. I want to speak it, I want to live it, and then I want to extend it to others." Listen, if you leave here today with nothing else at all from the whole book of Philippians, leave with this idea. Every day, wake up to speak the grace of God, to receive the grace of God, to live the grace of God, and then extend the grace of God to others. Just stop and thank him for what he's done in your life and ask him to help you live that out for others. Sometimes there are people that are hard to show grace to, but here's the reality. You and I must have been hard to show grace to from the Lord, but oh, he did it. Lives transformed by the grace of God. That's what he's called us to. So what's the next step for you today? What do you take from this conclusion to the letter of Philippians? Well, here's a few things really quickly. First of all, are you a saint? Do you have Jesus in your life? If you do not, right now you need to receive him. And in just a moment when we have an invitation, I want to encourage you to come quickly down. Let me share with you how you can have Jesus. If you already know, just publicly profess him. He says if you confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord, you can be saved. I encourage you to publicly profess who he is and what he's done in your life. If you are a saint, thank him for that. If you're not, give your life to him today. Secondly, maybe for some, you are a saint, you have Jesus in your life, but maybe you need to make a renewed commitment to follow through with believer's baptism. You say, "What is that?" Well, this is baptism that shows the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus, but it's a symbol of our death to old ways. Being underwater is like being washed and made new by the Spirit and alive in him. That is not what saves you. I've told you this before, but the water we put in that baptistry is good old mud water. It's not holy water. And that water is just water. And if you go through baptism, but you have not given your life to Jesus, you're just getting wet. But if you've given your life to Jesus and you happen to have been baptized before you did that, And it wasn't until later that you knew your need for him. Listen, friends, I want to be honest. The scripture call is that we would repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That word for, it doesn't mean it's paying for your sin. It's the idea of this. If you were to go to the post office and see Kel's picture on the wall and it said wanted for being awesome. Wanted, he said awesome. A good looking man. Wanted for being a good looking man. It's not that you're trying to find Kel because he's hurt somebody. It's that he's already doing whatever that says. And so the reality is to be baptized for the remission of our sins is the idea that God's already done the work in our lives of saving us. And now, because of that, we are to be baptized to publicly show the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The truth is there are people in this room, you've been walking around as a believer, but you were baptized long before you gave your life to Jesus. It's time today to publicly confess him. Now, we don't have any water in there, so you're not going to get baptized today, but you can come and say, I need to do that. I'm 47 years old. I'm 87 years old. I'm 16 years old. I want to publicly profess that Jesus is my Lord. I want to follow what the saints have done for 2,000 years and publicly show Jesus. Maybe that's you and you want to make that commitment. Maybe for you today, though, you realize that you are somewhat stuck in Caesar's household. Now, it's not that you're being murdered for your faith, but you're just in a difficult spot or a dark spot or a hurtful spot or a spot that you don't see an ending to. So today, maybe you come and pray and just say to God, would you help me to be your man on the scene right now, even though I don't understand why you got me there? Will you help me to be your woman on the scene, on mission for you right now, so that the people around me can see the light of Jesus, whether they're in my home, in the workplace, in my neighborhood, among my friends? I want to be Jesus to them. Maybe God's calling you to do that. Maybe for you, it's just a reminder that we need to build a grace case every day. And so that starts often by receiving God's grace and then extending it to others, which is not always easy to do. Maybe a renewed commitment to that. Would you bow your heads with me? As we move to a time of invitation, would you consider one of these things? Would you consider, first of all, would you consider, if you've never given your life to Jesus, would you come? Let me pray with you. Maybe you did it earlier in the service. Would you come and make that public so others can know? Confess him before men. Maybe for you, you've been following Jesus for a while, but you've never followed through with believer's baptism. Listen, would you come and just say, I want to be baptized, and we'll work it out for the next few weeks. Listen, it's a way of publicly professing who he is and walking in obedience. Maybe for you, though, you need to build a grace case. You realize that you've been extended his grace, but you struggle to extend it on out to certain people, maybe. I found in my life some are easier to give grace to than others. But that's not what God says to do. So maybe you need to join me and just pray for a moment and ask God to help you build a case of grace with your life and how you live it. But then just maybe you're in that Caesar's household moment and you realize that you're God's man or woman. You are the message of hope in a hopeless situation. You are the picture of Jesus in a worldly situation. You are the gospel in the flesh in your family. If that's the case, come and pray about it. Somebody will pray with you. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our church. There are two families joining our church today. I'll announce them at the end. Maybe God's calling you to do that. Listen, can I encourage you, if you're going to come, don't come just to sit and enjoy. Come to serve, to worship, to grow. But if God's calling you, come join this army of our faith family. Whatever God is saying to you, Father God, please have your way among us in this invitation time. My prayer is that we would all feel willing to be obedient to you. Some to walk in believer's baptism. Others maybe to follow through with forming a band of brothers or sisters, people that they can hold close to and pray for and encourage. Others to simply ask you to help us have the grace to hold on in some tough situations. And then still others who will make a grace case in their lives. God, please have your way now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.